On My Way by Phil Collins, and I guess that's about getting up off the couch and taking that first step on a short walk or a long trek. And it's to introduce journalist Belinda Jackson, who loves a hike and was excited to try out the new trails in Victoria's Geraward/Grampians, about 3.5 hours west of Melbourne is where you find the Grampians, a popular spot no doubt this Easter. Belinda opted for a four-day hike, but she told me there were a range of distances from as little as 1 hour to the full 13-day through hike. Well, Melbourne reporter Belinda Jackson is on the line and talking to us today about an experience that she enjoyed. It was admittedly in the summertime, but I know the destination is going to be very, very popular over this sort of Easter and school holiday period. Belinda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Graham. Always a pleasure.
What possessed you to go on a multi-day hike in the Grampians, or Geraward as we now know it?
What wouldn't possess me to do it? I mean, the Grampians, as you know, is one of the peak hiking destinations in Victoria and in Australia. And that what lured me there was the opening of the Grampians Peaks Trail, which knits together a lot of walks that a lot of listeners will have done already and knits them together in one full 13-day hike. Can I just say, before anybody gets too excited or impressed, I did the northern section, which was the first 4 days of the 13-day
hike. I am impressed. I am impressed. I think that's a great effort. I'm not sure I'd line up for 13 days. I'd be have blisters on my blisters. How did you come out of it? Let's go to the back end first.
There may have been a blister or two, but can I say that Compeed is your best friend? There's an outrageous plug for a product, and that's a blister, basically the best Band-Aid in the business.
A blister Band-Aid. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, but I did the first 4 days, and I started out on the first day that it was open. It was incredibly exciting. I was hiking with another through hiker, Laura Waters, who's another journalist.
Oh, yeah, she's written a few books on this, hasn't she?
She has. I mean, she is the hiker of the decade. She hiked from the top to the bottom of New Zealand. So Laura was my hiking companion, which, of course, doesn't give me any pressure at all, none whatsoever.
No.
Terrifying. Mm. But also along the way, we did actually meet quite a number of other hikers who were going through through the whole trek, including a really intrepid group in their 60s and 70s that were very seasoned bushwalkers.
Okay.
But what I wanted to point out about the Grampians Trail is that you don't have to be that heroic hiker to approach part of the walk. I mean, I did the 4 days, the northern section as it's known, but then it's also split up into day walks. There are half day walks. There's even 1 hour walks up to a beauty spot. It might be a gorgeous waterfall. We saw little children in gumboots wandering through because there'd been quite a lot of rain before we were up there.
Yeah.
And they were walking with their parents. There were babies in backpacks. So what that trail does is it takes some of the really well-known beauty spots, along the route and puts them together, as well as improving some of the existing track and including new areas as well.
Right. And I'm assuming along the way there is a form of accommodation.
There is. So the hike takes 13 days and there are camps all the way along it. What has changed with the Grampians is that you need to book through Parks Victoria on your accommodation, your stays along the way.
Yeah.
And they range from, there is camping the whole way through. So I did actually carry my tent with me.
Mm.
And then there are also huts and communal shelters as well. So
so
that all has to be pre-booked. And what that does is it controls the number of walkers on the route, because part of the overriding reason to create this route was to protect the Grampians. So there's been a lot of debate in the hiking community that it would encourage more people to walk, but what it does is it gives the ability to control what is a very beautiful but ultimately very fragile landscape as well.
Is the trail well marked, or is it a boardwalk, or what do you actually walk on?
It ranges from scrambling over rock faces. That was interesting because it was also sleeting. We did it two weeks before the beginning of summer, so we got sleeted on, we got rained on, we got hailed on, we got sunburnt, we got the whole shebang.
That might work for this Easter, actually. I'm, I don't think we're going to get sunburn at Easter, but it could be cool.
It's supposed to be cool this Easter. I've always thought the Easter camping thing, you know, it is the last blast before winter kicks in. It's always ambitious. But and that's the thing about, you know, that old adage, you know, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So it really is a landscape that has to be prepared for. And I think, you know, there was a lot of talk that this would dumb down the walk, you know, that it would just make it open to everybody. You know, parts of it are tough. Parts of it are scrambling. There's no sugarcoating some sections of it, especially up in the north, you know, we didn't pass any other hikers, you know, during the days.
Right.
And occasionally you'll cross roads and stuff like that. But there are some sections of it that really are a challenging hike. And it is waymarked the whole way through.
Right.
But then we kept our maps with us as well to make sure that we weren't, you know, veering off onto a fire track or able to plot our water as well, because there are water tanks the whole way through, including at each of the accommodation stops.
Okay.
Well, otherwise you'd be carrying your own water.
Yeah,
you know, that does make a heavy pack.
Oh, absolutely. Is there mobile phone service throughout the walk, or only at certain locations?
I would not count on the mobile phone. It in most of the accommodation, then you could pick up reception in the overnight stays.
Yeah,
you'd pick up reception, but for a lot of the time, no, there wasn't. So, you know, you've got to upload your selfies when you get the reception. And sometimes, you know, when you get on the top of some of the peaks like Gar Summit and things like that, then which is Gar is Mount Difficult, then you would be able to pick up some reception there. But, you know, when we were up there after a day of sleet and hail and rain and sunshine, the sunset was absolutely spectacular.
Right.
It was just a time to put the phone away and just absorb this incredible landscape. You know, the Grampians is just spread out all in front of you, and it's wild up there because you are following a ridge walk, wild weather, but the rewards are absolutely bountiful.
Fantastic. It absolutely sounds very 21st century compared with some of the rambling I must have done years and years ago. Are you checked in and out of your accommodation so that they know you're off the track for the night, or what happens there from a safety perspective?
No, you book in and you book out with parks, so they know where you're supposed to be every night.
Yep.
When I went through, because I think, you know, that it was still a teething process, then there wasn't a check-in and check-out system.
Right.
But because you're all walking, the route runs north to south from Mount Zero down to Dunkeld. So you would often find, you know, like those other hikers that I mentioned, we would meet them at the end of the day at the next accommodation. So in a way, it creates a little camaraderie, and that was our backup for the time.
Mm, no, that's great. So in order to participate in any of these walks, do you get yourself to Halls Gap, or what's the sort of point of departure?
Well, Halls Gap is, you know, the adventure capital of the Grampians, and it's a great starting point. There's also, it's a great place to pick up your last minute things that you've forgotten.
Yep.
There's a really good outdoor shop there as well. It's also the base for the Grampian Peaks Walking Company and the hiker support in Halls Gap and the information centres that are there. And that is a place where you can pre-book your pick-up and drop-off as well, because, you know, being a one-way walk, you've got to organise your cars. If you're in a group, you know, you might leave a car at the top of your walk wherever you're going to start it, if it's at Mount Zero, and then the next car, like, is at Halls Gap.
Yep.
So otherwise you can book hiker support that does pick-ups and drop-offs from the places where you're going to walk to and from.
Okay. And would they carry a heavy pack in the back of the car for you if you chose?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's
right.
Their bread and butter. Yeah.
Okay.
They also do gear rental, and they can do gear and water drop-offs as well, so as well as doing those transport services. And that's the thing about the walk. It can be as luxurious as you like or as bare bones as you like. And we used that transport company to drop us off at Mount Zero, and then I walked out to Halls Gap where I'd left my car, and Laura continued on down to Dunkeld.
Right.
But then otherwise, you know, you can have a little softer gram. You can actually take guided multi-day walks through. So you have a guide with you who does do that, you know, running with the gourmet food and making sure that
Uber Eats gets delivered, does it?
Oh, I think you'd be looking for Uber wine by the end of that.
Maybe.
But then some of the guides too also, you know, take you into, you know, they help you unpack the landscape. You know, what's that, the incredible mosses that you're seeing along the way, the animals that you're spotting, you know, the wallabies. There are a couple of Aboriginal rock sites in the, particularly in the northern section, mm-hmm. that you can start tapping into that Indigenous history, which hasn't really, to my mind, been told so much in Garraward, in right. Garraward Grampians. So yeah. That helps you just immerse yourself a little more and really learn about the landscape, rather than using it as a, right, I've got 4 hours and this is my next point and I've got to cover this amount of kilometres and this is the push, you know, because sometimes I know when you're doing long distance hiking, it can all be just about the kilometre coverage and less about the environment. So there are ways of, you know, making you slow down, appreciate what you're looking at.
Belinda, I've noticed just from stuff I've seen on the internet that these long distance walks that may last for quite some months seem very popular in the US with a couple of different long distance treks there. Do you think Australia might develop something, say, longer than your 15 days, or what have we got there now?
Look, I think Australia's already got it's had a taste for the long distance hike for a long time. I mean, you know, in Tasmania, the iconic overland track, which includes Cradle Mountain and comes out at Lake St. Clair, that's it's not the biggie, it's 65 kilometers and generally it's done over 6 days. That has always been, you know, one that everybody's aspired to do for its beauty. It's been loved a little bit too hard, so now they've got a lottery system,
right?
But you know, and then we've got the opening of things like Three Capes down in Tasmania, the Larapinta in the centre of Australia. So we've definitely got the taste for the long distance hike. I mean, there are some that are quite a bit longer. I mean, the Grampians is 160 kilometres, it's 13 days. But then the granddaddy of them all really is probably the Australian Alps walking track, which goes from the Victorian High Country up through New South Wales and the ACT. That's 680 kilometres and it takes between 40 and 60 days. The group that I did meet on the trail of older hikers, they'd actually done it. You know, they were well hardened on
right.
it. Then, there are, you know, some of them that are pieced together, like the Bicentennial National Trail, and that's recommended walking time for that is 1 year. So, and that covers 5,000 kilometres. So, you know, we've got them in Australia. It's just whether you've got the time to do them, really.
And whether you're able to do them all year round. I mean, you wouldn't want to be up at Marble Bar in the height of summer trying to walk anywhere.
No, I mean, with walking, you've always got to choose the timing for that. But then also, most of these trails you can dip into, like the Grampians, dip into for a day, for a weekend. You know, maybe you've got 4 days off it, which is why Easter is such a popular hiking time. Like the Hazen Trail in South Australia, you know, that people jump in and out of that all the time, and the Human Hovel, which is in New South Wales. You know, a lot of these follow old colonial routes,
sure.
You know, colonial trails. You just don't want to end up, you know, doing a Burke and Wills. So you do have to do a bit of research.
Absolutely not. Dig your own grave. So, Belle, what's your next hike, do you think? Have you got something lined up?
I don't have anything lined up at the moment, and part of that is just the whole, you know, access of COVID and things like that.
Yeah.
On my hit list, I have a hit list a mile long. Mm. In Australia, I think that the Three Capes in Tasmania is definitely the one that I just can't wait to go. I was supposed to go just before the outbreak. In fact, I think the weekend that we went into lockdown, I was supposed to be hiking the Three Capes. And that's very gentle, but the scenery, and you're looking at those capes and the pillars, the limestone structures
right.
on the southern edge of Tasmania just look so spectacular in photos. I need to go and see them myself in person.
Well,
that's my next one on my hit list.
I'm glad you're there to be our eyes and our ears, because I'm not sure I'm up for that. I have to say, as a lad, I did climb Mount Feathertop 3 times. That's the second tallest mountain in Victoria.
3 times? I'm very impressed.
Yeah, but look, it's a stroll, basically, to be really honest with you. And maybe I'd call it a scramble at the very end up a grassy slope to the actual pinnacle, but the view from up there is just spectacular, and nighttime, the night skies are another thing that you are amazed at, because we're so drowned in light in the city that we lose the ability to discern all of the Milky Way. But when you get up there, it's just absolutely fantastic.
Well, I think that one of the other hikes that taps into that is down on Wilson's Prom, and Wilson's Prom is another biggie for Easter especially.
Yes.
But some of the hikes that go right down to the edge of it, this is prime aurora watching landscapes.
Yes, and it is. Yes.
If you've timed yourself right, you know, I've seen the Northern Lights, but you don't have to spend however many thousands of dollars getting to the utmost tip of Norway.
Mm.
And in fact, I was on a ship once that was watching the Northern Lights, and somebody showed me a photo that, and I said, "Ma, that's fantastic. Did you take that just now?" And he said, "No, that was from Tasmania," which was about an hour, you know, it was an hour and 10 flight from my home in Melbourne. So, and Wilson's Prom does have spectacular locations that you can hike into, you know, just a 1.5 day hike. And that puts you into really pristine dark skies for that exact experience.
I have hiked the Wilson's Prom down to the, and you can stay at the lighthouse, in the lighthouse keeper's cottage, and there's some other outlying cottages, but we didn't actually see an aurora. We had our eyes and ears cocked, but it was lovely down there, I must say, and took a lot of photographs and really enjoyed it. But it was one of those incredibly hot days, and I will say, anybody who's going to hike needs to be aware that the last 100 metres is incredibly tough. It's an asphalt road, but I was zigzagging from left to right across the road. I didn't feel like I was making any vertical progress at all. It was so hot and I was so wasted by this stage that, you know, I didn't ever reckon I'd get there. But the surprise on arrival is the magnificent view from the lighthouse. And the keeper, or I don't know if he's a keeper or a Parks Victoria person, did actually let us go up inside the lighthouse to the light and stand on the balcony outside. That was pretty spectacular, I must say. It's definitely worth doing.
It sounds beautiful.
But, well, Belinda, terrific to get your take on a range of different accessibility. I mean, if you want to be a shuffler, you could probably find something up in the Grampians. And if you're a Ferdicum trekker, well, there's obviously things for you there too. But we appreciate you being out there and taking one for the team, Belinda.
Anytime, Graham. I'm more than happy to go back. I mean, the Grampians is spectacular, and this walk just showcases the best of it.
Now, is there a website that people can go to?
There is. If you go to Parks Victoria, you will find Parks Victoria and also grampianpeaks.com.au, which is the Grampian Peaks Walking Company. So between the two of them, you will find all of the maps that you need to order, and make sure you drop into the information centre in Halls Gap if you're going past, and that's really where you're going to get the lowdown on what the day's weather is going to be for those few days, and whether you've got your kit together too, because as you were just mentioning on the Wilson Prom walk, you know, having water is the most important thing that you've got to plan for.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
On any walk, whether it's 13 days or it's 2 hours.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Belinda.
Thanks, Graham. Lovely to be here.
That was Belinda Jackson on the Grampians Trail, which is expected to be popular this Easter. If you'd like to book, get onto the Parks Victoria website and they'll show you how to take a hike. This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.